This is a podcast from the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, a nonpartisan research institute that explores budget policies and issues affecting low and moderate income Americans. I'm Michelle Bazzi, and welcome to this policy briefing.
Good afternoon, everyone. As you know, the Census Bureau released this morning new data on poverty, median income, and health insurance for 2007. Here with me to go over what the data indicate is Jared Bernstein, director of the Living Standards Program at the Economic Policy Institute, a leading expert in this area and the author of the book issued earlier this year called Crunch, Why Do I Feel So Squeezed? I believe both the Center and EPI are issuing various materials today analyzing these data. We issued a statement over about an hour ago that I made, and by probably 3 o'clock, if not earlier this afternoon, the Center will be issuing a full analysis of all of these data. Jared can explain in a minute what EPI is doing. I'm going to make a few opening remarks and then turn it over to Jared, and then I'll have some additional comments, and we'll go right to your questions. Today's data shows some modest improvement in overall median income and health insurance coverage. Despite this, these new data are quite disquieting. Why? Although 2007 was the sixth and likely final year of an economic expansion, poverty was significantly higher. Median income for non-elderly, that is working-age households, significantly lower. And the number and percentage of people who were uninsured considerably greater than in 2001, even though the economy was in recession that year. This is unprecedented. Never before on record has poverty been higher and median income for working-age households lower at the end of a multi-year economic expansion than in the previous recession. The data are now clear that for poverty and median income, this was the worst economic expansion on record. And these data add to the mounting evidence that the gains from the expansion that started at the end of 2001 were concentrated among higher-income Americans. There also was just between 2006 and 2007 some disturbing news today as the number of people living in poverty increased by 816,000, a statistically significant increase to 37.3 million. One last opening comment before turning it over to Jared. One of the pieces of welcome news today was that the number of children living in poverty, the number of children with health insurance declined in 2007, and the overall number of people without insurance dropped by 1.3 million. When you look closely at the data, what you find in the new census data out this morning is that employer-based coverage and private health coverage in general continued to erode in 2007. And that all of the improvement in health care coverage was due to more Americans getting coverage through public programs, particularly Medicare and Medicaid. In the absence of the public program performance in 2007, the number and percentage of uninsured would have risen again that year. Let me turn it over to Jared.
Thank you, Bob. And this is Jared Bernstein from the Economic Policy Institute. And over at EPI.org, we'll have our analysis of the poverty and income results written by myself. Elise Gould, our healthcare analyst, will post her health insurance analysis around shortly as well. Now, while we're glad to see that median household increased last year and the number of uninsured fell, these gains came too little too late. In an economic recovery that yielded far too few gains for working families. And working-age families, that is, families headed by someone under 65, are particularly notable because while overall household income increased last year. Their income did not experience a significant gain in 2007, and in fact is down over $2,000 from the year 2000. Now, why the year 2000? That was the peak of the last economic cycle. So one of the benefits we have from today's report is it's the first time we can evaluate the progress or lack thereof of these indicators across cyclical peaks. And economists like to do that because, in a sense, you're controlling for the overall macroeconomy. You want to look at one peak to another. And in that case, as you heard Bob Greenstein say, this economic expansion was uniquely unrewarding for middle and low-income households. Median income fell further for working-age households than for all households. At this point, I want to cite some of the highlights of the report, not over the past year, but over the past cycle, taking advantage of the fact that we can now make such a comparison. Median income fell further for working-age households than for all households because job and wage growth was particularly weak in the 2000s relative to past cycles. The poverty rate grew from 11.3% in 2000 to 12.5% in 2007, the largest increase in poverty over a business cycle. During this seven-year cycle, the poverty rate declined significantly in only 1 year, 2006. In contrast, poverty rates fell significantly in the 1990s, and in a minute I'm going to do more of those comparisons with the 90s. Despite strong gains in earnings last year, men who worked full-time all year lost ground in the 2000s. Their earnings were down 3%. Now, these are workers who are closely attached to the labor market, work full-time, full year, yet over this business cycle, this group of workers lost 3% in terms of their real earnings. African-American households' median income rose 3.2% last year, a significant gain, but took a big hit over the 2000s, down 5%, $1,800 in 2007 dollars. And I want, I think it's important that listeners understand these results in the context of how highly productive this workforce has been over this period. Output per hour or productivity rose 2.5% per year between 2000 and 2007, an 18% gain in total. And that compares to 2% per year in the 90s when family incomes fared much better. So it's kind of an interesting comparison. Thus far, really, what Bob and I have been talking about is kind of an inflation benchmark. That is, we're comparing how these incomes and poverty rates did relative to price growth. If you compare how families did relative to productivity growth, that was notably stronger in the 2000s than the 2007, you get a feel for the extent to which the extent to which the American workforce is working harder and smarter, baking a larger economic pie, yet the size of their slices are thinning. Finally, I want to draw a comparison briefly between the 1990s and the 2000s vis-a-vis these indicators. Interesting, as I noted, productivity growth was actually faster in the 2000s. In this sense, there was the potential for faster growth across the income scale in the 2000s relative to the 1990s, a potential that was never realized. Now, poverty rose in the recession of the 90s, and for a few years during the weak recovery that followed that downturn. But then ensued a period of lasting, steep declines in poverty rates. Median income followed a similar pattern with particularly sizable gains for African-American households. Both poverty and income followed similar patterns through the 2001 recession and the jobless recovery that followed. But after that, instead of reversing course, these trends just stagnated through last year, the last year of a recovery that began in late 2001. Now, had the incomes of middle-class households continued to rise at the rate that prevailed over the 1990s, their incomes would have been $2,600 higher in 2007 compared with 2000 instead of $300 lower. And I think these reversals provide a clear picture of the shift in fortunes over these years. Real middle-class incomes were up across the board in the 1990s, especially for minority households. It's very much a function of the full employment job market that prevailed in the latter half of the 1990s, as tight job markets are particularly beneficial to lower wage workers and groups that experience higher than average levels of joblessness. Their incomes and their poverty rates are more responsive to low unemployment than higher income households. Remember, the nation's payrolls, in terms of jobs added, the nation's payrolls grew by about 23 million over the 1990 cycle compared to only 6 million over the 2000s. With the lackluster job growth of the 2000s, the losses of the 2001 recession simply evolved into stagnation over the weak expansion. Finally, these 2007 results are as good as they get. That is, 2007 was a year where unemployment on average was 4.6%, inflation ran below 3%, and real wages for most workers were actually rising. This year, 2008, we've experienced persistent loss in jobs. The unemployment rate is 5.7% and rising, and inflation was last seen increasing at a rate of 5.6%. Real wages have been falling consistently since the last quarter of last year. It's a virtual certainty that poverty is increasing in 2008 and median incomes are falling. In that sense, the results that we're discussing today and this particularly and uniquely disappointing cycle of the 2000s from the perspective of middle and low income families is as good as we're going to see in that 2000 cycle. Poverty and median incomes very likely are falling as we speak. I'm sorry, poverty is very likely rising, real median incomes falling as we speak. Thank you.
Thanks, Jared. I'm going to make a few more points on poverty, income, health care, and inequality quickly, and then go to your questions. On poverty, just to fill in a few more blanks, the poverty rate was 12.5% in 07, statistically unchanged from 12.3% in 06, but well above the 01 level of 11.7%. Notably, the child poverty rate climbed just between 2006 and 2007, from 17.4% in 06 to 18% in 07, as 500,000 more children fell into poverty last year. On the median income figures, I just wanted to spend another moment on median income for working-age households, which was statistically unchanged between 06 and 07. It stood at $56,545 in 07. That was $1,100 below the level in the recession year of 01, and nearly $2,200 below the level in 2000 when the previous economic expansion peaked. Now, what this means, as we noted, on median income, let me just add, if you're puzzled by the fact that overall median income is back to the levels from the earlier years, but median income for working-age households is well below the levels in 2001 and 2000. The explanation is that there's been an increase in elderly incomes, primarily, and if you want, we can discuss this more in the question and answer, primarily because the structure of Social Security benefits reflects changes in average wages, and we have a number of people retiring now whose average wage profile reflects big increases in average wages in the 90s, which is reflected then in an increase in Social Security benefits. The data also show that since 2000, the percentage of elderly people working has gone up significantly. Now, on health insurance, in 2007, 45.7 million Americans, 15.3% of the population, were uninsured, an improvement over 06, a marked deterioration since 01, when the number of people who were uninsured was about 6 million lower at 39.8 million. Now, what happened during this period, a dominant factor, is the erosion of employer-based coverage. In 2001, 62.6% of Americans had employer-based coverage. In 2003, only 59.3% did. And between 2006 and 2007, employer-based coverage fell again, from 59.7% of Americans having employer-based coverage in 06 to 59.3% having it in 07. Well, if employer-based coverage fell between 06 and 07, how could the overall ranks of the uninsured go down? The answer is that between 06 and 07, the percentage of Americans with insurance through a public program increased from 27% to 27.8%. In other words, more than employer-based coverage eroded, primarily as a result of gains in coverage through Medicare and Medicaid. Now, I should point out that the ability of public programs like Medicaid to offset erosion in employer-sponsored coverage could, if it hasn't already, disappeared in 2008 and 2009. Employer-based coverage is likely eroding more quickly now than it normally does in recessions because more people lose jobs. And Medicaid programs now face a risk of cuts in numerous states because a growing majority of states face budget deficits due to the economic slowdown, have to balance their budgets each year, even in slowdowns, and tend to look at Medicaid as one of the primary areas to make cuts in when the economy weakens. This underscores Jared's point that in the area of poverty and median income, and I think for the reasons I've just mentioned, certainly health insurance as well, things are almost certainly deteriorating now, and the 08 numbers almost certainly will be worse than the 07 numbers. Jared's explained that unemployment is up, jobs are down, real wages are down. In the past, when the unemployment rate has risen and weekly earnings have declined, median income has always fallen and poverty has always increased. Unless we see a substantial, unexpected improvement in the economy in coming months, the 2008 figures to be released a year from now will be worse than those that were released today. That also means the 2007 may represent the final year of the economic expansion that began at the end of 01, which means we can compare this expansion with other economic expansions in the past. And as I noted at the top of the hour, such a comparison shows that this expansion was unique. In no other multi-year economic expansion on record was the poverty rate higher and median income of non-elderly families lower than before the period of growth began. One last point, and that is on income inequality. The census figures released today include information that inequality lessened modestly between 2006 and 2007. Unlike the rest of the census data, this component of the census data is not reliable. This is not simply a view of mine or the Center on Budgets. It is broadly shared by analysts. And the reason that census data are not a good measure of trends in inequality is several-fold, starting with the fact that they miss a lot of income at the top of the income scale. You might not know it, but the Census Bureau does not count earnings above $999,999. If you make $5 million a year, it's recorded in the census data as $999,999. If your income increases from $5 million to $10 million a year, census shows it is remaining flat at $999,999. Census does this to ensure confidentiality. It fears that if it recorded the specific incomes of very high-income people, that high-income people would be less cooperative in providing income information. The census data also omit all capital gains income, which flow disproportionately to high-income households and represent a significant share of the income of those households. For these reasons, analysts generally concur that data released by the Congressional Budget Office that blends census data with IRS data in order to fully capture income at the top and also to count non-cash benefits at the bottom are much better measures of income inequality. And for the last number of years, when the CBO data, which lag by a couple of years, when they come out, they tend to show significantly different results on inequality than the census data. In most recent years, the census data showed no change in inequality, while the actual data, when they became available a year or two later, showed significant increases in inequality. So at a minimum, I think we have to say that we really do not know if inequality decreased even modestly in 07. It may not have. It might have even increased again. We really won't know until the fuller data come out a year or two from now.
Thank you for listening to this policy briefing from the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. You can follow us on Twitter at Center on Budget, find us on Facebook, or create a My Center account at centeronbudget.org.